Whoa. All right. A nice long introduction for you there. This is the morning show on 88.5 KRFY, and welcome to it. It's Jim and Jack on a Thursday morning. Glad to be with you once again today. In studio, we have a couple of guests to talk about wildfires broadly and locally. Excited to talk about that fascinating subject, a fiery subject that I think will light up the airwaves.
Well, I want to say that it was rather nice to listen to the, I rarely get into the our introduction theme song more than like 30 seconds. Uh-huh. And it's sort of nice to hear that it goes on after that.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, it's a groovy tune. We should start playing more and more of it, or move in, start it at a minute in or something like that.
Or continue to talk over it, which is always a good thing.
Yes. We had, it's the first show after Labor Day. Is it the first show of September?
Duh.
Yes. Yeah. Good. Would have to be. I couldn't remember if it was the first yet last time we were here.
It's all the smoke, isn't it, Jack, that's been getting to you, huh, buddy?
Yes, it has. Yeah, it does. It does clog me up a little bit. My mental faculties are not what they
You are not alone.
Be.
You are not alone.
Did you have a good Labor Day, Jim?
I have to admit, I threw my back out last Friday. And so, unfortunately, I was committed to the sofa with a heating pad, and I had to pass my time by watching a plethora of college football games. And it was a joy. My team won, so I didn't care about the other games. So,
not a bad way to spend a
A day. I was frustrated because I didn't want to get out at least one last time on Schweitzer Huckleberry picking, but I didn't do that because we did not get the second shelf in our garage freezer filled with huckleberries this year.
How many? Just curious. How many pounds of huckleberries would you say you have?
One doesn't go by pounds because we put them in quart bags, but okay. I don't want to give that away because people might break into our garage.
That's true, yes.
But we do have blueberries there as well. Uh-huh. But what does the weather look like? It's going to be a semi-hot day, isn't it?
It is. A high of 82 degrees today, sunny, and then, appropriately, patchy smoke today.
What a surprise.
I know. Patchy smoke tonight and a low of 56 degrees. Patchy smoke tomorrow and then sunny. So according to the National Weather Service, this smoke that we experienced today will clear up tomorrow. Partly cloudy tomorrow night and then a slight chance of showers. Chance of showers continuing through Saturday morning and then clearing up and mostly sunny on Saturday afternoon. High of 73 degrees. Sunday, high of 72 and mostly sunny. And heading into next week, slight chance of showers and a high of 71. Beautiful weather, I would say, and lucky to have it.
I'm glad
September.
We have Vernon here because when we get into the conversation, I want to ask him what patchy smoke is. I've heard of smoke, but I've never heard of patchy smoke. So
we usually see it kind of just everywhere. Just
exactly.
Widespread.
Is that like a quilter's kind of smoke? But speaking of quilters, my sister in Washington, D.C. is listening, and she sent me the forecast for those of you who are interested in weather. Three time zones away, it's 82 degrees now in Washington, D.C., a high of 94. Oof. And she said we have had 43 days of above 90 weather this summer, but not consecutively. Mm-hmm. So that's what living in the Washington, D.C. area is like. Uh-huh. So how did you spend your Labor Day?
I got out of town. I went camping, actually, and there was a no-fire sign posted at my campsite. So I did not have a campfire to gather around. So it was kind of an early-to-bed kind of a camp trip. But that was okay. Early-to-bed, early-to-rise. That's my cup of tea.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was beautiful, yeah.
In nice the studio with us, we have Gene Girth with 350 Sandpoint, an organization that is sponsoring or co-sponsoring or just sponsoring the upcoming event this Saturday at East Bonner County Library. And with her is Vernon Roof. Vern is the Northside Fire Commissioner. And the event is Saturday, September the 8th, 11 to 2. At the East Bonner County Library, and it's a panel discussion, begins at 11:30 a.m. with all sorts of people. Jane, give us a little bit of background on this event.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. We're just getting going.
Coffee
is kicking in.
This event actually started because the national organization 350.org is participating in the Global Climate Action Summit and in San Francisco next week. And in anticipation of that, they asked all of their branches, we're kind of an affiliate organization to them, they asked them to do an event on September 8th. So internationally, I think there's going to be 800 events on Saturday called Rise for Climate. So we started thinking about, well, what can we do that's relevant and useful in Sandpoint? And then I had about 2 weeks of staying inside from the smoke, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that really, and it doesn't matter where the wildfires are coming from or why they seem to be worse now. We're not going to talk about climate change per se at this panel discussion. We just want to talk about wildfire and smoke, where what's happening now, how it's being dealt with now, and most importantly, how can we plan for the future? Because this does look like something that's going to persist.
Vernon Roof, you're the Northside Fire Commissioner, and you've held that position. You kind of new on the job, right?
Absolutely. Was just elected in November, took the position in January, and I share that position. There's two other commissioners. I'm for Subdistrict 3, and then I have two other commissioners that assist me, District 1 and District 2. So we share in the overall operational aspect of running the fire department.
Huh. Okay. And you're from a district. Does that mean that you kind of focus on that district, or you run the whole show as a three?
Well, it's similar to the county commissioners. For instance, yeah. You've got a county commissioner, District 3, District 2, District 1. It's just I'm responsible for that particular district, even though I participate in the overall operational aspect. It's just I have my constituents in District 3, and those are the people I meet with as far as homeowners associations, speaking engagements, et cetera. So they've just kind of split it up so that you don't have one commissioner that's responsible for a real large area. We've kind of broken it down.
What are some of the duties of a commissioner besides working with the other two commissioners? And also, before we get to that, what's your background with fire?
Well, I've pretty much been in fire and emergency medical services since I was 14. I remember my dad, just south of Washington, D.C., taking me down to the fire station, the local volunteer fire department there. And I was too young to go out on calls, but I'd help the guys clean up the equipment and just start to get to know them and start the training prospect. And pretty much it took off after that. I became an emergency medical technician, volunteer firefighter, and pretty much worked up to the ranks. And I retired in 2011 from Santa Rosa, California as a fire captain and a paramedic.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. It sort of makes me remember back when I was that age. My first merit badge as a Boy Scout was firemanship. And I remember going to the fire department on Calvert and Michigan Street. And just a neat, as a kid, I think you grow up with a fire truck, don't you?
Well, my dad always thought I was just kind of joking around when they'd ask me, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to be a firefighter. And they're thinking, okay, you'll probably want to be a policeman next week and an astronaut the following week and maybe a pilot the following week. But pretty much I stuck with it, and that was the career I had for, 40-plus years.
And so we have this panel discussion coming up on Saturday, Fired Up, about a wildfire, planning for wildfire in Bonner County. Where do you fit into the panel discussion? What expertise will you bring as fire commissioner?
Well, I hate to say that I'm an expert. There's this old adage that an expert is, the definition of that is somebody from out of town with a good CD presentation or a good PowerPoint presentation. So certainly I'd like to use the years that I have to go ahead and get together with, the other, panelists. I think it's always good that we train, we practice, and we expect these calamities prior to them occurring. And I think it's going to be quite interesting to see what, the other people from the emergency management, the Idaho Forest Group, what they have to say, because eventually I don't think it's a matter of if, I think it's a matter of when the big one's going to hit here. And when you think about it, one of the largest fires in U.S. history was here in Idaho, the Big Burn in 1910. And certainly I'd like to think that that will not occur again, But, you know, really, it's we're definitely primed for a larger fire here, and it seems as if we've been able to dodge the bullet the last couple of years.
How has the fire situation been this summer? Has it been a because I mean, Gene, you go back farther than Vernon. I just don't remember beyond the last 2-3 years it being this bad.
I came here in 1988, and that summer was bad. I remember I was living on the shores of Pondre River, and I couldn't see across. That was the year of Yellowstone.
Ah, okay.
That's the only time that I can remember, short of the last, what was it, four years when we started getting really bad smoke. That's the only time I remember being that impacted by smoke. So to me, it's been a big change in the last 4 years. And that's smoke. That's not wildfire, though. We get a lot of smoke from other
countries,
states. You know, I don't think we've had that wildfire here, the Cougar fire out at Hope. I don't know. Has that been extraordinary or not? I don't know.
One of the topics that you'll be discussing Saturday is how are the fires affecting us? Obviously, the obvious thing is smoke.
That's the big one for me. We're going to have some information there. Gabrielle Dubendorfer is a naturopath in town, and she's going to have a table, so she'll have some information about what you can do about smoke to protect your health. The wildfire component of this, I think, is to me is more about planning. You know, people need to know what's been going on. How do the agencies interact? They do, but I don't know exactly how they're coordinated. So in the future, Vernon and I were just talking before we came in here. It's like there's always room for better communication. So I imagine that's going to be one of the topics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also really hoping that people walk away with at least one action item that they feel like they need to do and that they will do to help protect their own property from wildfire and perhaps to do something for their neighbors or for the community, because we really all have a responsibility for this. And it's made me really stop and think more too. We've taken trees down around our house, but I know that there's more that I could do just to protect my property. Thinking about evacuation routes. I'm hoping Bob Howard's probably going to give us some information about that. I don't know. I want to be prepared. I want to have a couple of routes. Like, I live close enough to the lake. I could go down and jump in the lake. Is that the best option? I don't know.
Well, it reminds me, Jack, do you remember we had someone from the Sagal Fire Department come in to speak exactly about this, like something as simple as having your road number out on a tree or visible from the road rather than going back. And I understand, I could be wrong on this, that they will come out and give suggestions about you've got your firewood pile too close to your house or different things like that.
Mark Souter, who I believe was on the radio recently here, is also going to be there with information and contact, you know, how can you get him to come out and look? Because as he described it, that's a big part of his job is going out and talking to people about prevention.
And it's free.
And it's free.
And it's, so, okay, these are people living in outlying areas. How about us within the city limits? What can we do?
I don't know. Right now, come to the discussion.
Yeah.
Vern, do you have
Vernon,
any?
Do you have a suggestion for us in the city?
You know, basically, our problem right now is what's considered the wildland-urban interface. It's the WI, where in the past, when they had these large-scale fires, there were not the number of homes that were out there in the community.
Okay.
So now that becomes somewhat problematic that we just can't let these fires burn out anymore or establish control lines. We have to go in there and do some type of structure protection. Perhaps we have to do evacuation or rescues. As far as the city limits, I think this most recent fire in Santa Rosa has really changed my look at it, where I don't think I ever expected whole subdivisions to be destroyed.
Right.
The problem is when you have a full-scale evacuation, you've got all these burning embers that possibly may be coming down. You have a small fire that starts on a wood pile next to your house or on your roof. There's nobody there to put it out. Your resources are quickly expended, and then those small fires become large fires. I think that if the community as a whole works, whether you're in the urban setting, whether you're in the city setting, I think it's going to be a coming together of everybody to try to figure out what they can do. The city folks will help the people that are further out. And I think we can go ahead and just come up with some good ideas prior to the big event happening.
Yeah, I know I want to go back and talk about smoke more because that has been what's been affecting
that's affected
me some more.
You.
Right. But about the, I mean, the big fire, the potential for a big fire here, like are we in such a vulnerable area that we could see? I mean, I know in California, there's been times where whole towns have had to be evacuated. Are we in that kind of situation here where, I mean, how vulnerable are we to the idea of, you know, evacuate Sandpoint or evacuate half a Sandpoint or something?
I think we're very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I think that you see it every year in California. You see it in some of the other states that are more prone to wildfires, but you'll see whole communities evacuated. And perhaps we can talk about this at the seminar, but if you're not already on the Bonner County Sheriff's Department NCSL alert, they'll go ahead and give you an alert, whether it's road construction, whether you're going to be undergoing some type of evacuation. So there are already things that are in place to assist you. But when you think about it, 1910 was the big fire in Idaho. It's still the largest fire, 3 million acres. 3 million acres. That equates, I'm not sure how good my math is this morning, but I want to say that's about 4,700 square miles. Mm. So certainly, there's quite a few opportunities that we could experience as far as, are the summers getting longer? Are we getting the rain? There's quite a few different aspects, but certainly we are very vulnerable here.
Hmm. I'd be sort of curious. You said you retired how many years ago?
I retired in 2011 when I came out here. I still had the desire to help out.
Okay.
So if I could put in a shameless plug, we are always looking for volunteers. Whether it's for Northside, whether it's for any of the other volunteer agencies, it's not a problem particular to Bonner County. It's a problem all throughout the United States. So if you'd like to help the community out, if perhaps you want to get your foot in the door, whether it's emergency medical services or firefighting, we'll take you in. We'll give you the training. We certainly won't give you a shovel and send you out the first day. But we want to appeal to people who would like to come out and help their community. And we'd be glad to have you on the firefighting staff.
What would be contact information? How would an individual tap into this?
You could go to Northside Fire District. We have a great website. You can actually apply to be a volunteer there. You can obtain information there. You can certainly call the station, go down there and visit with the firefighters that are on duty there. And if it looks like it might be something you're interested in, why don't you give us a chance? It definitely would help the community. And once again, we've had people come in that get their foot in the door and go on to be paid firefighters elsewhere. Even though we'd like to have kept them, we realize that people want to use this as a career step.
And I imagine that's true for the Selkirk Fire District also, because my understanding now, there's Northside Fire District and there's Selkirk, and Selkirk has kind of amalgamated Sagal and Sandpoint. It's a several district area, but I would imagine that they would also be open to people coming down to volunteer.
Absolutely. Okay. That would go for all the volunteer agencies, whether you're in Bonner County, Boundary County. If you happen to be listening to this from out of state, when you get back to your particular state, they're always looking for volunteer firefighters.
Vernon, I'd like to ask you one reason why I asked you when you retired. So you've had a chunk of years fighting fires or dealing with fires. How has it changed over the years in terms of philosophy of dealing with fires? I remember my contact for many of us is Smokey Bear says, prevent, well, put out your campfire. But I'm sure that there's more than just putting out your campfire. How has the attitude towards fighting fires changed, or has it remained essentially the same over your years of service from what you've observed?
Well, I think that there's definitely been some upgrades and some modifications to the way we fight fire. But when you think about it, really, you get the firefighters on the ground, you get them out there with the hand tools, the chainsaws, the bulldozers. A lot of it goes back to how they were fighting fires back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. Certainly, there have been new advances, firefighting foams. They've got these large air tankers. They've got better communications. They've got better coordination. You've got mutual aid agreements set up. But for the most part, the tactics, very, very similar to what we used to do. Essentially, what you want to do is you want to isolate it. You want to go ahead and surround it. You want to contain it, and then you want to do the extinguishment.
Interesting, interesting. We're here with Gene Girth and Vernon Roof. We're talking about an event coming up this Saturday at East Bonner County Library, this Saturday, September the 8th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., called Fired Up, Planning for Wildfire in Bonner County. Let's take a music break, and then we'll come back and talk more about fire.
And smoke.
We'll start immediately with smoke. On this date, September 6, 1961, Bob Dylan performed for the first time publicly at the Gaslight Cafe in New York City. And we didn't have that recording, but we do have a Gaslight Cafe recording from 62 from one of his well-known songs. So we're going to play Don't Think Twice, It's All Right, back from 57 years ago, a young Bob Dylan. That is Bob Dylan. Sorry, we were talking away. We're going to have Vern talk some more about what we were talking about. But That was Bob Dylan. He debuted on this date in 1961 at the Gaslight Cafe in New York City. And that was Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. And then, of course, we all know what happens after the early 60s with Bob Dylan. He just explodes the music scene. And we're here with Gene Girth and Vernon Roof, and we're talking about wildfires, looking ahead to this Saturday, September the 8th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the East Bonner County Library. And if you haven't seen the new edition, this will be your chance to see the new edition over there. The library is just an important venue in the community. Jack, you wanted to venture with Gene about...
Yeah. We have to talk about the smoke here. It's a there was a good article by Ben Olson in the Reader a couple weeks ago. I know, talking and plenty of anecdotal evidence that it's getting worse. But it really has gotten worse in these last few years. I mean, that's the month of August has been in particular pretty much smoke filled and increasingly so. My question would be. Is this the new normal? Is this something we're looking forward to?
Well, that's certainly a phrase that we hear a lot, that this is the new normal. And you always have to be careful with that, because we're talking about weather events, and weather is something that changes. But when you look at climate, and climate is kind of long-term weather, and you look at the science and the numbers behind it, we can expect more. We can't predict, I don't think anybody can predict exactly when or how bad, but there's, I have a handout that'll be available on Saturday that's from the University of Idaho that talks about the Western U.S. wildfire season has increased from 3 months to 7 months today since the 1970s.
Wow.
And the, since 1986, longer, warmer summers in the western U.S. have resulted in four times as many major wildfires and six times as much area of forest burned compared to the 1970 to 1986. The average time span of large fires has increased from 7.5 to 37.1 days. So I don't think we have to really go out on a limb to predict that this is the direction that we're going in. There's a lot, we'll have some more information there. I've been reading and getting interesting information about mega fires, that this is, there's phenomenon that's happening now that hasn't happened in the past in fires. Vern, you might know about those from California. But it's, yeah, we got to deal with it. And even if we can't, even if we don't know exactly where it's going in the future, I know, Jack, you and I both suffer a lot from the smoke. I hide, and Gabrielle has some of these remedies, some ways to help deal with it. The first line to me, the first line of defense, is getting someplace where you can filter the air. I found, I don't have science behind this, but it seemed to help me to take a box fan, tape a furnace HEPA, a HEPA furnace filter, over the box fan, close up as much as I could and just run that fan. And that provided me with a lot of relief. There's other types of air filters. We'll have some of them there to look at. There's masks. I wear a mask when I found out I was moderately, I'm in the sensitive group. So when the smoke starts getting up there, I wear a mask outside. And then there's other, as Gabrielle says, the first line of defense for the body is to deal with smoke. In dealing with smoke is the mucous membranes in the respiratory system. You help keep those clean. You use nasal lavage, the old Medipod. So come, you know, we'll have that information there. There are things that you can do.
Yeah. So I know, I mean, in addition to the climate change that you're talking about, of course, the forest management has changed a lot lately. I mean, the policy, as I understand it, policy used to be, and Vernon can maybe speak to this, maybe he can't, but policy used to be put it out no matter what.
Well,
now we kind of say, well, some fire is actually healthy. And maybe we have too much of a what's called, I guess, a fuel load in the forest from all the years that we didn't allow natural fires to occur. Is that something that we're just in a bad phase right now? And we'll get back to sort of some kind of normal later on?
Well, we will have the experts there.
Right, yeah.
And again, you know, from my reading, Jim, you mentioned Smokey the Bear. Well, yeah. He's come under a lot of criticism. And
no.
Oh, I know.
There goes one of my
I know.
Childhood friends. Next, you're going to tell me something about Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
And then I'm going to be really devastated.
From what I've read, you know, there's various forces. One of them is the forest management, where we suppress too many fires. There's the WUI, the wildland urban interface, that makes the fires seem worse because we're living out in them. Mm-hmm. The climate change has contributed to, we're getting earlier snow melt, snowpack's going away. There's more precipitation in the spring. That means all the grasses and the undergrowth come up, and then we're drying out and we have these longer fire seasons. And so this is a multifaceted problem with multifaceted solutions. I've heard things from let it burn, more prescribed fires so that we kind of control when things are going to burn. And I blanked on the other one.
Well, do you have somebody from, I'm guessing the U.S. Forest Service would be the main agency.
Yeah, and I just, and I wanted to read off who's
going to. Why don't you read off?
Yeah.
I was just looking at that myself. Go down the list of the different contributors, because the panel is incredible.
The panel's incredible. To answer your question, Jack, Matt Butler is the Panhandle Fire Management Officer with the U.S. Forest Service. I'm looking forward to finding out more about his job. I know he travels a lot and he's quite an expert in both the fire management and talking about forest management. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the solutions out there? Cutting, prescribed burns, that type of thing. We also have he's not on here. Nate, I'll pull up his last name soon. He's coming from the Idaho Department of Lands, and evidently, the U.S. Forest Service and the Idaho Department of Lands collaborate quite closely. So he ought to be able to address that, too. We have Vernon. We have Bob Howard from the Bonner County Emergency Management. We have Milton Ullerton, who's the Bonner County Planner. And Jeff Conley, who is one of three Bonner County Commissioners. So those are all agency people. And then we have one person, Aaron Matter, community outreach from the Idaho Forest Group, as a representative of private logging. Mm-hmm. And they're a big company, and forest resource and logging is obviously a major driver in our economy. So they need to be in on this discussion too.
The event, by the way, is Saturday, September 8th. In case you hadn't heard that, it's tied in with the National Rise for Climate event put on by national350.org. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind, do you tie into that national event at all? Any kind of presentation that is related to it, or?
We're tied in just through electronically. They're live streaming the event, and everybody, you know, if you Google Global Climate Action Summit, you can find the links for live stream. We'd like to set that up at the library, but just kind of ran out of time to mm-hmm. do it. I've been toying with the idea of going to San Francisco, and I go back and forth on that. I might go next week. I actually got press credentials to go in, and there's a lot of people. They're having plenary sessions. It's kind of the star-studded Al Gore, Jane Goodall, lots of people's names who you recognize who are going to be there. But this Global Climate Action Summit was a follow-up to the U.S. pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords. And various politicians and people stood up and said, well, if we're not doing it as a country, we're going to do it at the state and the local level. So this is a meeting with those folks.
You're tuned in to 88.5 KRFY. We're here with Gene Girth and Vernon Roof, and they are promoting Fired Up, Planning for Wildfire in Bonner County this Saturday, the 8th of September, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. East Bonner County Library. And some of the questions that will be dealt with: how are the fires affecting us? What steps are we taking? What more can we do? And I'd like to go back to Vernon for a second. When Bob Dylan was playing his wonderful song, we were talking about, I said, am I underneath an illusion that having so much water around us in the lake, Clark Fork River and whatever, that that is a good thing in helping us deal with fire and in the area? And I'd like to hear what you'd have to say about that, Vernon.
Certainly. I think it's quite an advantage. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching the air tankers coming down, and basically they land very quickly on Lake Pendre, and then they take off, they drop their water, and then they come back. And I watched these two small air tankers do that for probably 1 or 2 hours. So certainly it's a benefit having water resources close by. I know that some of the local fire departments have established what is called a dry hydrant, where they've strategically placed hydrants close to water sources. So if they need them in the summertime or in the wintertime, they can go ahead and draw water from those. But certainly, any time that you've got a water source that you don't have to go a tremendously long way to grab that water and bring it back to the fire, it's always going to work in your advantage.
The dry hydrant that we're like, so that's just run into the lake or something like that?
Essentially,
I've never heard of that.
I know.
It's a large pipe. It's called a dry hydrant, and it goes out to the point where you would always be able to access the water. For instance, you wouldn't want to put a dry hydrant somewhere where when the lake goes down for the drawdown, then you can't have access to it. But it's a much more economical way for fire departments to have access to water versus finding water mains, putting in traditional hydrants. And really, when you get out into the rural areas, you don't have the water system infrastructure. So this is just one way, whether you link it into a pond, whether you link it into a stream, whether you link it into Lake Pendre. It just gives the fire departments just another advantage, just another opportunity to get that water from someplace else.
Sure.
We've been talking mainly about wildfires. Will this Saturday's event talk about home fires? Will that be coming in, or is this just going to focus in on natural events?
That's been our focus, has been the natural events.
Okay. Yeah.
But we're going to have firefighters on the panel, and there's going to be several, I think, in the audience. So it could come up.
Vernon, does your job, I mean, as the Northside Fire Commissioner, are you concerned with both of those as well? Or are you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it'll come up, the structural firefighting aspect. If someone's structure catches fire during the summer months, during the winter months, it might not be as worrisome, but certainly you can imagine a structure in the middle of the woodland somewhere. You've got some strong winds, and then now you've got the embers blowing everywhere. What I'd like to see us work in conjunction with the other agencies is, you know, jump on these fires as quickly as we possibly can, realizing that that structure fire may turn into a wildland fire, and what may be a fire in a neighboring jurisdiction, dependent upon a course of wind shift or a temperature rise or some other thing we're not expecting. Mother Nature always seems to be able to throw little curveballs into it. that fire that's in your neighboring jurisdiction could be in your jurisdiction in a fairly short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Is there, if you do have a, you know, I know we have listeners who have houses way back in the country. Are there things like, I mean, I know I've seen elsewhere the like sprinklers on top of houses, special, you know, devices and making, then making sure that you're so many feet away from, any trees and things like that. Are there things that the, that you prescribe to people?
Certainly. And we can get into it in much greater detail at the symposium, at the talk, but certainly what we want to do is, first off, we just want to tell people, don't worry, we're not asking you to turn your property into a moonscape. Mm-hmm. There's ways that you can responsibly, you know, create a defensible space around your residence, realizing full well that if it's 90 degrees with a 50 mile an hour wind, no matter what type of preparation you may have done, there's a very good likelihood your house still may be lost, but you can certainly prevent that small fire from becoming a large fire, whether it's doing some type of vegetation management around the house, whether it's trimming back trees, whether it's going ahead and establishing an escape route for yourself, having a packed bag ready to go in the summertime, perhaps have at least maybe a half a tank of fuel should you have to, you know, leave in a hurry, be on the Nixle as far as Bonner County so you can get these evacuation order updates. There's a lot of things that we can talk about that can give people a little better feeling, realizing that, hey, should the fire occur, at least we'll have a fighting chance. What we'll also do is, because of all these homes in the wildland-urban interface, for as far as vehicle accidents, when someone is injured and you arrive on the scene and you have multiple injuries, there's a certain process that goes on. It's called triage. It's a French meaning for to sort. What we would do then is we would do that in the wildland setting as far as trying to decide with the limited resources which homes we try to protect. And if you've done a really good job in preparing your residence, maybe we can come in there, station an engine, maybe we can do a little bit more prep and we can make a good defensible stand at your location. So once again, there's a lot of things, but I don't want to give people the impression that you have to clear back 400 feet, remove all trees, vegetation, whatever. That's not what we moved here for.
Yeah.
But there are some ways that you can make it safer for yourself.
One of the things we haven't talked about is the impact of fire on habitat, on animals. And because I think, what was it, about 2 weeks ago, a grizzly bear in Athol, Idaho, and I can't help but think the smoke has moved it about. And then I wonder, how did it get down there? Did it go through my backyard to get down to Athol? So I wonder, you know, will the Forest Service be talking about the impact?
We can ask them to do that. Good. So you're talking about wildlife habitat.
But and the animals themselves.
And I did hear a couple of weeks ago when our smoke was bad and I was wheezing about a farmer talking about his cattle getting pneumonia because of being out in the smoke.
One doesn't think about that.
So it's, I think it's a real issue, both wildlife and domestic animals too.
I have... For Vernon, where is the Northside Fire District?
Well, we have four stations. We have the main station, which is in Pendere, 437 Cedar Avenue. It's right next to the post office and the city hall there. And then we've got three other stations. One is on Highway 95, a couple of miles north of 95, out of Pendere. We've got one on Samuels Road. And then we've got one right across from the Pack River store. Those are unmanned stations. Okay. They have fire equipment in them, but the one that's specifically manned the majority of the time with volunteers and with the paid staff would be the one in Pendere itself.
Yeah. What's the area that you guys cover?
We cover about 115 square miles. And to put that into perspective, that would be the land area of the city of Spokane and Spokane Valley put together.
Yeah.
Once again, certainly we don't have the population, we don't have the density, but that is about the area that Northside Fire District covers.
Wow. Do you guys ever, do you have anything to do with like fire bans? Do you guys ever say you can, you know, no campfires this weekend or anything? Or is that strictly the Forest Service that covers that?
You know, the Forest Service will set out the restrictive fire bans. I don't know if anybody noticed, but on the way out of Pendere last week, they had the signboard up there, stage one fire restriction. Governmental agencies, local agencies can declare an absolute total ban on fires. But once again, when it gets to a certain point where we're on a heightened sense of urgency as far as could a fire break out on a particular day, you could very well see that. That was not established this year. I want to say in passing years, I want to say that they had a total ban in Kootenai County, and I also want to say in Bonner County, but the highest it's gotten this year is a stage one fire restriction.
Mm-hmm. There were total bans in the past. And I just wanted to get back to the discussion on Saturday to add for people that, number one, it's free. And if you have questions, it's important. It's a moderated panel. We've all been to a lot of panel discussions that can sometimes just go on and on and on, but we're going to have very structured time. And there'll be opportunity for people from the audience to submit questions, and then we'll have a moderated period for questions from the audience.
And it takes place at East Bonner County Library. And if one does not know where it is located, it's located on Cedar and Division. And usually I want to say it's located on Division, but I'm always corrected. The mailing address is Cedar.
It's Cedar Street.
It's Cedar Street. Mm-hmm. But this is an opportunity, I think, to not only come and attend the panel discussion that begins at 11:30, but the doors open 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., but also to see what's new at the library, the new addition, which I think speaks well for the community with the health of the library. But one more time, Fired Up, Planning for Wildfire in Bonner County, Saturday, September the 8th, 11 to 2. And there's just a whole host of individuals who will be participating in the panel, including Vernon. And what is your key perspective when you look over the list? What do you bring to the panel?
Well, I may be able to speak to that there, too,
because you got it, Gene.
I've talked to everybody.
He just passed it downfield to you.
Yeah. He's been on the ground. You know, he's been, you have fought a lot of fires, and you're maintaining your relationship with the fire district here. So I really think that we need to listen to our firefighters and
people who've done it firsthand.
And It's our responsibility to do as much as we can to prevent them having to go into a situation where they're putting their lives on the line.
Yes.
And I last night was reading about there's been a record number of firefighters killed this year in California. So it's not just protecting our property. You know, we all need to try to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of the people who are taking care
of us.
Protect
the protectors. Mm-hmm.
And if that means that we have to pay more, I'm willing to do that. I think it's a good insurance policy. But before we were had mentioned, well, what do we do if we, you know, if you live in Sandpoint, what does that mean for your fire exposure? And Vern spoke to that, but it's also a lot of these policies that can help us in the future with wildfire are at the county level. So pay attention, because our county commissioners have a lot of power about what we can do. So pay attention to who's running. And as Vern said, there's always room for volunteers at the fire districts and people who need, you know, who can run for a commissioner position. I don't think you have to have been a firefighter to be a commissioner, do you?
No, it's not an absolute requirement.
Yeah.
Certainly helps out.
It would help, but at one of our marches, one of the fire district people, it was the women's march, and the fire district person called up and said, "We're looking for women to be on our commission, so please advertise that." And we did. I don't know what happened, but there's room for involvement.
Absolutely. Again, this is 88.5 KRFY, Jim and Jack, and we've been talking with Vernon Roof, and we've been talking with Gene Girth about Fired Up, Planning for Wildfire in Bonner County, this Saturday, September the 8th, 11 to 2, at the East Bonner County Library. One more thing, yes?
Can I just say the names again, because I looked up the name of it. Mm-hmm. It's Nate Rogers is the fire warden from... Okay. Idaho Department of Lands, that was the name I couldn't remember. But then we have somebody from the National Forest Service. We have the Bonner County Planner. We have the Bonner County Emergency Management Person. Vern from the Northside Fire District. Jeff Conley, a commissioner from Bonner County. And Aaron Mader from the Idaho Forest Group.
I want to thank both of you for coming in. And we are going to segue out and say goodbye to Gene and Vernon with a song that comes from the Beatles' White Album 50 years ago today. This is a George Harrison song, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. But Eric Clapton played the lead guitar on it, and he came into the studio and did his part 50 years ago today. So this is from the White Album, George Harrison's While My Guitar Gently Weeps. That is While My Guitar Gently Weeps from the White Album by the Beatles, written by George Harrison. And on this date, September 6, 1968, 50 years ago today, Eric Clapton recorded the guitar solo on this song, and quite good.
Yeah, quite good is well put. That's an understatement. No, he's wonderful. I do like that song. That's one of my favorites on the White Album, I think.
Supposedly that was the album that indicated the Beatles going their separate ways and the breaking up of the group. And
right,
autobiographical, this was George Harrison's His Guitar Gently mm-hmm. Weeps, because musically the Beatles are breaking up. I don't know how far I'd push it. It's just a beautiful song.
Yeah. Interesting. So that's that. We just heard from, we just said goodbye to Vernon and Gene, who mentioned, among other things, that we continued talking all the way through that song, but among other things, Vernon mentioned that you don't necessarily have to be, you know, the kind of person who wants to run into a burning building to volunteer for your local fire district. You can, they look for people of all skill sets, and they need help in a multitude of different ways. So get in touch if you're interested in helping
out. And we'll be having Vernon on back again. We talked about that with another fire commissioner from another district, possibly in November, once the push with wildfires hopefully will tone down by then.
Hopefully so.
And we'll have him back on to talk about some of the needs and some of the volunteers that they could use. We're going to look at some community events.
Here's the most important one. Here's the one you want to know about today. At 3 o'clock p.m., leave work, go out into the parking lot, get in your car, turn on the radio, because it's time for the 3 o'clock rush. Thursday at 3 o'clock p.m. on 88.5 KRFY, it is the world premiere. The big show starts this Thursday at 3 o'clock. That's today, this afternoon.
Is planned, programmed, any word you want to use by high school senior Ryan Baumgartner and from Sandpoint High School. And I just want to say we're excited about it. So tune in at 3 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, let us know how much you've enjoyed it.
I can't remember. I don't think this week's the Model United Nations. This one might be student council. I can't remember. But then music, of course, too.
It's going to be music. Yeah. It's going to be interviews. It's going to be reflecting a certain age group that we have been very non-represented on our airwaves. And I'm really pleased about this.
Right. Rectifying that situation.
Tonight, we've got Comedy at the Patio. The 219 Lounge hosts live comedy starting at 8 p.m. There's going to be some local comedians as well as regional comedians, and they're going to be raising funds and awareness for World Bicycle Relief, an organization dedicated to providing bicycles to developing countries. This is, there's no cover, and donations are accepted. That is at the 219 Lounge, 219 First Avenue, 8 p.m. tonight.
We have at the winery on Friday night, music with Son of Brad, free and open to the public, music at the beer hall with, Mr. Piano Man, Chris Lynch and Brian Jacobs. That will be at McDuff's beer hall from 6:30 PM to 9:30 PM, ages 21 and over. Live music at the patio again at the 219 Lounge from 9 p.m. to midnight with the Maya Kohal Band. This is all tomorrow night. Then the farmer's market continues on Saturday with local produce, artisan wares, and more from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Farm Inn Park, corner of 3rd and Main.
And starting tomorrow night at the Panada Theater, the film Memoir of War. It shows at 5:30 on Saturday, 7:30 on Saturday, did I say? 5:30 on Friday, 7:30 at Saturday, and 3:30 on Sunday. That's at the Panada Theater. For more information, go to panada.org.
We're just about out of time, but do you know anything about that, Jim? The Memoir of More?
I think it's a German film.
Okay.
That's all I know about it.
A fictional film? I mean, what do you call it?
It's not a, not a documentary.
Not a documentary. What is the other thing? If it's not a documentary, it's a...
Well, they have live action, which is one category, then animated. I would say live action.
Okay. Wow, there is a lot going on, and we are just
Inspector's Car Show this weekend on the 8th. The 19th annual Inspector's Car Show from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in downtown Sandpoint. That ought to be interesting with all the roads being dug up, how they're going to do it. Uh-huh. But if you want more information, go to Sandpoint Injectors website or call 208-263-9780.
The Inland Northwest Cornhole Classic, the third annual Cornhole Classic Championship, is about to go on. That's at McDuff's Beer Hall on the 8th, 220 Cedar Street. Four regulation courts are set up to test your tossing abilities in a double elimination tournament. Two new divisions. The open division is for the competitive advanced players, and the social division is for the regular old backyard players looking for fun. Okay, register by calling 208-209-6700. And or stop in before then at McDuff's Beer Hall to get registered for that. The second Saturday art reception at the Pondere Winery is going on. Piano Sunday with Annie Well at the Pondere Winery. We got to go. There's lots more on the internet if you're interested. Go to sandpointonline.org. That's where we've been choosing these events from.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, or a little after 9 o'clock, Bird Note, one of our favorite short programs. And stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix throughout the day. But don't forget at 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock Rush with high school senior Ryan Baumgartner.